The Most Reverend James Carroll will be offering his first Pontifical High Mass at St. Pius V School this Saturday, January 26th at 9 a.m. A light breakfast will be served after Mass. The banns of marriage are announced for the first time for Claire Filaski and George Magrum. Anyone knowing a reason why this couple should not be joined in holy matrimony should please contact your priest. We're in need of workers to help to take down the Christmas decorations here at the Cove. If you're able to assist, please come and help with this project 2 weeks from now on February 2nd, Saturday. That's after the 8 a.m. morning Mass. Bishop Sante will be giving a talk for the ladies of the parish at St. Pius V School on Friday, February 8th at 7 p.m. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament will follow. The high school girls who are in grades 12 are also invited to attend. And also, due to the Pontifical High Mass on Saturday, there will be no confessions on this coming Saturday. There will be the usual confessions on Thursday and Friday. Thursday night during the 11 p.m. Holy Hour, and Friday, usual Friday confessions. I'd like to ask you to please remember in your prayers two of our parishioners who passed away recently. Mr. Robert Croce and Mr. Al Messina, who passed away yesterday. The visitation for Mr. Croce, Robert Croce, will take place on Sunday, 2 to 4 and 7 to 9. On Monday, 2 to 4, 7 to 9 as well. The rosary will be on Monday at 8 p.m. His funeral will be on Tuesday at 10 a.m. It'll be this coming Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mass here at the Cove. Details will be forthcoming. If you're interested in attending the funeral for Al Messina, please contact the office. I don't yet have the dates or times for that. Please kneel now and join me in praying for the repose of their souls.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord. May they rest in peace. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
One more announcement. Yesterday, Leah Poholsky competed in the American Legion Oratorical Contest and placed first at the district level. She advances next to the zone competition on Saturday, February 2nd. So congratulations to Leah for her efforts in this difficult speech contest. Today is the second Sunday after Epiphany. The epistle is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 12. Brethren, we have different gifts according to the grace that is given us, either prophecy to be used according to the rule of faith, or ministry in ministering, or he that teacheth in doctrine, he that exhorteth in exhorting, he that giveth with simplicity, he that ruleth with carefulness, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good. Loving one another with the charity of brotherhood, with honor preventing one another, in carefulness not slothful, in spirit fervent, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, instant in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, pursuing hospitality. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Being of one mind, one towards another. Not minding high things, but consenting to the humble. Be not wise in your own conceits. And the gospel appointed for the Mass. Taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 2. At that time there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was invited, and his disciples, to the marriage. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, They have no wine. And Jesus saith to her, Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother saith to the waiters, Whatsoever he shall say to you, do ye. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 measures apiece. And Jesus saith to them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus saith to them, Draw out now, and carry to the chief steward of the feast. And they carried it. And when the chief steward had tasted the water made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the waiters knew who had drawn the water, the chief steward calleth the bridegroom, and saith to him, Every man at first setteth forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and he manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. One last note before I begin my sermon. I'd like to welcome anyone who may be here at our chapel for the first time. All, of course, are always most welcome to attend our Masses. However, we do have rules for the reception of Holy Communion, for not everyone is free to receive Holy Communion. So if anyone is new for the first time, I ask them to please refrain from receiving Communion until they're ready to make a commitment to attend the traditional Mass regularly and exclusively, and until as well they have the chance to speak with one of the priests concerning any questions they may have about the traditional faith. Let love be without dissimulation, hating that which is evil, cleaving to that which is good. Words taken from the Epistle of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Scriptures contain a beautiful account of the marriage of Tobias and Sarah. Young Tobias was carefully trained by his parents to be virtuous and holy. And as his father grew old and blind, he began to prepare for death. He told his son, Keep God in your mind all the days of your life. He said to him, Fear not, my son, for we lead indeed a poor life, but we shall have many good things, if we fear God and depart from all sin and do that which is good. He went on to say that he had loaned a large sum of money to a distant relative in the land of Medes. He told Tobias to make the journey and to receive the payment of the loan. Tobias then looked for a guide. He was met by a young man called Azarias. Azarias seemed to be a very trustworthy person. He said that he knew the land of Medes and also the relative he wished to visit. He offered to guide Tobias there and back. Tobias didn't know it, but this young guide, who called himself Azarias, was actually an angel, the archangel Raphael. Holy Scripture calls him a beautiful young man, for that's how he appeared to Tobias, strong and handsome. The two of them began the journey. One day as they traveled on, and evening drew near, Tobias asked where they would spend the night. His companion pointed to a house in the distance and said that it was the home of his dad's first cousin, Raguel. He was a God-fearing man and had an only daughter named Sarah. You must marry her, the angel said. Ask her father for her hand, and he will give her to you as wife. But Tobias answered, I hear that she has been given to 7 husbands, and they all died. Moreover, I have heard that a devil killed them. Now I am afraid lest the same thing should happen also to me. And whereas I am the only child of my parents, I should bring down their old age with sorrow. And Azariah said to him, "Hear me, and I will show you whom the devil can conquer." And he went on to explain that those who receive matrimony in such a way as to shut God out from themselves and from their minds, over them the devil has power. He then instructed Tobias on how to have a God-fearing and holy marriage. He was to marry with the right motive, that is, for the purpose of having children. He was also to pray together with Sarah each night, being thus reminded and strengthened to keep the holy laws of God. They arrived at the house of Raguel. He received them with great joy. A great feast was prepared, and as the angel had urged, Tobias asked for the hand of Sarah in marriage. But Raguel made no answer, for he feared that Tobias would be killed as the other men had been killed. So Azarias said to him, "Be not afraid to give her to this man, for to him who feareth God is thy daughter due to be his wife. Therefore another could not have her." Filled with relief, Raguel declared that he believed that God had answered his prayers and his tears, and sent Tobias to him, that his daughter might marry one of her own people, according to the law of Moses. And taking Sarah's hand, he gave it into the hand of Tobias. And he said, "The God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob be with you. And may he join you together and fulfill his blessing in you." The wedding was finalized, followed by a joyful celebration in thanksgiving to God. Tobias and Sarah prayed together each night, asking God's blessing. And because they wished to please God, no harm came to them. For the devil cannot harm those who serve God. Tobias then asked Azarias, whom he still thought to be a man, to travel on ahead and collect the money owed to his father. The good angel graciously performed this office, and he returned. Tobias also received half of his father's-in-law great possessions. When Sarah left her parents, they gave her wholesome advice. They urged her to love her husband, to care for her family, to govern the house, and to behave without blame. Tobias journeyed home with his new bride and a caravan of great wealth. He and his father wished to pay Azarias, who had brought them so many blessings, and only then did he reveal his true identity. "I am the angel Raphael," he told them, "one of seven who stand before the Lord." And he told them that God had sent him to help them, because they had served God faithfully by prayer, by fasting, by giving alms, and by burying the dead. Now, in today's gospel, our Lord attends a wedding feast. Cana is a small village about an hour's walk from Nazareth, the town where our Lord grew up. The young couple marrying were probably relatives of Our Lady. They had the privilege and blessing of exchanging their vows in the presence of our Lord himself. Husbands and wives should find great encouragement in this incident. It shows the deep concern of our Lord and his mother for the happiness and success, not only of this marriage, but of every marriage. It was embarrassing to run out of wine. Consider that Our Lady came to the help of this couple. In fact, she asked a miracle for such an insignificant thing as to spare them embarrassment. And she did so without even being asked to intervene. How powerful is her prayer. And although her son did not intend to work a miracle, he did so at her request. How much more she will do for those families who honor her and seek her help and who pray her rosary. At that wedding feast, our Lord raised marriage to the dignity of a sacrament. What that means is that he made matrimony a channel of graces, of sanctifying grace and of special sacramental graces. The purpose of these graces was to sanctify society by sanctifying individual families, to help spouses fulfill their duties, to be faithful to each other, to persevere in their chaste and holy love. and overcome the many obstacles that would endanger charity and destroy the harmony that should exist in the home. These graces help spouses to be noble and courageous, to be patient, kind, gentle, and considerate, virtues that make a peaceful and a happy family. These graces of matrimony are available continuously to husband and wife as long as they both live. These graces make the family successful. And what is a successful family? A successful family is one that fulfills its purpose. And the purpose of the family is to sanctify the members and to bring them to heaven. Matrimony is a holy state. I told you the story of Tobias and Sarah. They had a successful and happy marriage because they were determined to obey God in this holy state. Catholic husbands and wives must have the same determination. The family must be holy. And parents must lead the way. Like the young couple in the gospel, they must enter marriage with the blessing of Christ and live according to the teachings of His holy church. God commands that they love one another. The husband and wife owe each other love, since marriage is primarily a union of heart and affection. Their love must have three qualities. First, it must be genuine, expressed not merely in word, but in conduct. And secondly, it must be constant, not diminished by time or circumstances, since they take each other for better or for worse. And thirdly, their love must be spiritual and supernatural. It must have the salvation of both parties as its purpose and permit nothing that would hinder their sanctification. Spouses must be devoted to one another and avoid anything that might cause reasonable suspicion or jealousy. They must never forget that the primary object of marriage is to have children. They must make every effort to live together in peace and harmony. In short, they must be holy. And they can be holy with the help of this holy sacrament. In recent times, there's been a concerted effort by worldly people to remove God from every aspect of society. This is a cunning plan of the devil for the destruction of souls. To accomplish their destructive goals, Satan and his agents have attacked the family. You see, society is made up of families. And if you de-Christianize the family, you will successfully de-Christianize society. Many families in the world today are broken and dysfunctional. This is so because so many have excluded God or never even invited our Lord into their homes. The result is widespread abortion and contraception, horrible crimes before God, crimes which pervert the holiness of marriage and lead to unhappiness, infidelity, and divorce. We must be very careful to resist the ways of the world, especially the modern view of marriage in the last 60 years. Be careful about the TV which you watch. Be aware that there is a constant and deliberate agenda of filth on TV. Avoid those shows which promote impure lifestyles and perversion in marriage. These things bring only misery and unhappiness. How different things are in a God-fearing family, in a God-centered family, where spouses honor the holiness of marriage and look upon children as blessings and gifts from Almighty God. My dear faithful, keep the world and its ways out of your home. Avoid exposure to evil when you can. It is natural to become like your environment. There is an insect you may have heard of called the praying mantis. God gave this insect a marvelous ability to camouflage itself. Over time, its entire body will assume the color of the plant it sits on. It is similar with men. If you keep worldly friends or allow your children to, you will become like them. And if you live as well on a steady diet, a daily diet of TV or internet, you will, without realizing it, gradually become worldly. Surround your families, then, with good influence. Keep company with our Lord and our Lady by displaying prominent pictures of them in every room in your home, by kneeling before them as a family to say the rosary. You will become like them, holy and happy. They will help your family to be holy and successful, so that every member of your family gains heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.